Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'd like for you to please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, please. I've been looking at some things in the Word regarding believing and godliness and humility. Some of it we've handled in the fellowships. Not all of it, but some of it. And I wanted to revisit this section. I've certainly taught it before, but it's just fun to read anyway. The other night in our Wednesday night fellowship, I taught Hebrews chapter 12. But in doing that, I really thought about going back and picking it up and setting some of the context of Hebrews chapter 11 and what is being said here. You know, when you look at God's Word, men have come up with many, 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 many things that they say God requires. But what God says He requires is the heart to love Him and humility. He loves humility. He seeks out the humble. And a manifestation of humility is obedience to God's Word. Now that's going to require believing. Sometimes on paper this, oh yeah, no problem. But it's not always that easy. Because it's not our nature to be humble. You know, especially as Americans.
Excuse me, Pete, did you turn that
on? I did. Especially as Americans. Just part of our culture. And I don't want to get into that. I'm not saying that's good or bad. But I'm just saying when it comes to God's Word, God knows. And all He wants is what's best for us. It's always for our good. Always for our good. Everything He does, everything He says, everything He instructs is for our good. You go all the way back into Deuteronomy chapter 6. God told Israel, He just said, look, I have given you these things for your good, that it may be well with thee, so that you might inherit what I've given you. Everything He told them, that they would live. See? And you see those periods of time, and we'll read about it here, where Israel walked and they obeyed God. It was amazing, the things they saw. Amazing. You know, when they marched out of Egypt, there was not one sick person. Not one. Those are millions, by the way, of people. Isn't that something? Not one. You know that their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years? I'm serious. Shoes. These were people who, you know, on a somewhat habitual basis, rebelled against God. But He still looked out for them and tried to bless them and did all that He could for them. Because He's a God of love, in Him is no darkness at all. So in this section here in Hebrews, He talks about believing. Leading up to this section, it is discussing Christ and the importance of believing on Christ, and that Jesus was the Christ. This was the one that was promised. And then in 10, beginning in verse 32. Now I want you to keep in mind, this is written to born-again ones of Judean background. Okay? In verse 32 he says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock or a spectacle, both by insults and afflictions." The word reproaches is insults. "And partly while you became companions of them that were so used, for you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods." He is talking to Judeans, and he's reminding them of when they first heard the word. The word regarding Christ. Very likely, these were, because it's written to those of the diaspora, it's very likely those who were there, many of whom could have been there on the day of Pentecost. And the persecution that followed. Remember Stephen? Yeah. Well, they were illuminated. See? And they had compassion on whoever the writer of Hebrews is in his bonds. They were made a spectacle. Then it goes on. "You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not," what?
"Tarry."
He's not going to tarry. "Now, the righteous," the just, "the righteous shall live by believing. But if any man draw back, my soul shall not be pleased in him," or with him. "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition," or destruction is the word perdition, "but of them that believe to the delivering," the saving or the deliverance of the soul. Now, believing is the foundation or the title deed of things hoped for. The evidence or the proof of things not seen. And it is the proof or the title deed of things not seen, not because your believing is so great, because God's word is so great. If God says it, that settles it. You understand? That's believing. No matter what the senses say. And that's where the challenge comes in. Because we're used to receiving information via the senses and going with that. And where the senses speak louder than God's word. But the reason why believing is the title deed of things not seen is because God said it. Isn't that cool? That's why it's the title deed. You can have a title deed in your hand and you're not on the property. You're not in the living room or whatever it is. But the title deed says it's whose? It's yours. Thus it is with God's word when it's believed. It's yours. Yeah, but that's where we get into trouble. Right? As soon as... yeah. Isn't that something? It's because God's word is sure. God's word is absolute. God's word is surer than the very ground you stand on. You believe that? It is. Because this ground you stand on someday is not going to be here. But God's word's going to be here. It was because of God's word that we're going to read some of the things we're going to read here. in chapter 11. You could spend a week on this chapter. It'd be fun to do. Boy, it'd be fun to do a weekend on the Word on this chapter. It really would be. Anyway. Now, believing is the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof of things not seen, for by it, believing, the elders obtained a good report. Literally, a good report from God. You could handle this as a good report card from God. Because they believed. They believed. They took God at His word. Believing, by the way, and I think most of you know this, but just as we read, believing is not something you make up. It's not something that comes out of nothing. It is based on information. Okay? In order to believe. The believing that we're speaking regarding here is believing that which comes from God, information from God. Now, I'm not going to... In some instances, the information that's believed is that which was taught or revealed. Other times, it was by specific revelation. But either way, it was information from God. And then that information was believed. Okay. Verse 3. Through believing, we understand that the ages were framed, the word world is ages, were framed or fully prepared by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear or are visible. Where did we get that information? God's Word, right? Mm-hmm. By believing, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he, Abel, obtained witness, or literally a good report, that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet what? Speaketh. When Abel offered, it was a lamb. It was pointing toward the Christ, the Redeemer that God would one day supply. Cain's offering was of his own hands. That's why it was rejected. You know, in the King James in Genesis, it says, sin lieth at the door. The way it should have been translated is, the sin offering lieth at the door. God even provided a sin offering, and Cain refused it. Isn't that something? But Abel, his sacrifice, because it wasn't of his own hands, it was pointing toward that which God would do. By believing, Enoch was translated, literally transferred, that he should not see death. You're going to find out very shortly this doesn't mean that he didn't die. That's not what it's talking about. And was not found, because God had transferred him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he what?
Believed.
He believed. He believed. Now, it's not that he didn't die physically, because later on we're going to read, these all died in what?
Believing.
In believing. Enoch died. What it's talking about is Enoch, because he pleased and believed God. This word see, it can mean to see physically. It can also mean to perceive. It also means to have to pay attention to or contemplate. Enoch lived in a time where every thought of man was evil. You can't imagine what that would be like. You can't imagine it. Okay? You've never seen anything like it. That's when he lived. And he prophesied during that time. You read it in Jude. It says God literally transferred him, moved him from place to place so that he didn't have to contemplate, think about, concentrate on death or being killed. Because that's exactly what they would have wanted to do. Isn't that something? Because he pleased God. Now, I know it's been taught that he didn't see anybody to die. You can derive that from this word see. But I think it's a little bigger than that when you look at the time in which he lived. But either way, he pleased God. And that's the point. But without believing, literally it's now, without believing, it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, and the words for diligently seek him literally mean to seek him. A rewarder of those that seek him. Believing that he is. By believing Noah, being warned or instructed of God of things not seen as yet, moved with, and the word fear is reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by believing. You know, there's a place, I think it's in Peter, Noah's referred to as a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. How many people did Noah save?
Eight.
Huh? All of us. Isn't that something? By believing Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. By believing, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents, tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Four, here's why. He looked, and the text is, the city. He looked for the city, whose foundations, or which have foundations, whose builder and maker is who?
God.
That's where his eyes were, based on information received. That's how he lived. That's what he believed. That's why he did what he did. That's why he lived in tents and didn't know where he was going. God said, go. He said, got him up from the land of Haran? Go. Walk before me. And you know what Abraham did? He walked before God. And he believed God. Matter of fact, he's called the father of believing. Through believing, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Okay. I'm going to read this the way it's... There are some words that are added here that they're not even there. It reads, through believing, also, Sarah herself, and in the Aramaic, one critical Greek text, and in the Peshitta text, she's called Sarah the barren, or the barren Sarah. Kind of interesting. Through believing, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had promised. We're still talking about Abraham. The promise was given to Abraham. Sarah laughed. Abraham believed. Therefore, sprang there even of one, referring to Abraham, and him as good as dead. You know what that means? He couldn't have kids anymore. He was past. It was too late. And so was she. She was barren. She was past the age of being able to have children. But God promised. He promised. It was the title deed of things not seen. Abraham knew. He knew God would provide a seed. And that's why Isaac is called the seed of promise. Because it was promised by God. And Abraham had nothing to do with it other than believing. Sarah had nothing to do with it. Isn't that something? Anyway, him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And that's just not talking about his physical seed. Ladies and gentlemen, God's word says we are the seed of Abraham by believing. Isn't that something? Because a promise was given to Abraham before Israel was ever Israel. There was no Israel. There was only Abraham. Right? That's right. That's what it talks about in Galatians. Anyway. Yeah. These all died in believing. Not having received the promises or what was promised, but having seen them afar off. And were, this is so great, they were persuaded, they embraced, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They were persuaded. The word persuaded means they were convinced. They were convinced. And then they embraced them. They accepted them. This word for embrace is like a welcoming embrace. That's what it is. They welcomely embraced that information. That they became persuaded, and then they what? Confessed it. That's what they confessed. See? They confessed God's word. They believed it. They were convinced of it. They embraced it. They confessed it. Right. Strangers and pilgrims in the earth, they lived here, just like you and I lived. They woke up, they put their robes on one leg at a time, just like we did. You know? They had families, they raised kids, the whole nine yards. But they knew this wasn't what it was about. This is not where they put their stock. Did God bless them? Absolutely. But this isn't where they put their eggs. They looked for a city. They kept their eyes on the promise, on that which God had promised. And that's how they lived. For they that say such things declare clearly or plainly that they seek a country or a homeland. And truly, if they had been mindful or had feelings for that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By believing Abraham, when he was tried or proved, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Isaac was the seed of promise. It was out of Isaac that the Christ would come. The Redeemer, that promised seed would come. It would come through Isaac. Abraham had that revelation. God had told him that. Next verse. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to what? Even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a parable. This parable is like a symbolic comparison. You know, you go back and these records are so well worth reading. But Abraham went with his son Isaac and went to offer him as a burnt offering. Really something. Abraham was as willing to sacrifice his only begotten son as God would be to sacrifice his only begotten son. And that might give you some insight as to why Abraham is referred to as the friend of God. They were on the same page. Abraham was as willing to sacrifice his son for man's redemption as God later would be. Isn't that something? Because he knew God would have to raise Isaac from the dead. He knew it. He had to. Because it was in Isaac that his seed was called. That's believing. That's deep. That's your own child. That's deep. I got a ways to grow yet. But that's how faithful God is. Once you have God's word, once you have God's word, it's God's word. God doesn't lie. He can't lie. By believing, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You can read about that in Genesis 27. By believing, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And by believing, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the, departing is the word Exodus, made mention of the Exodus of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. It's one of the last things he said when he died. He said, the Lord will visit you, and when he does, take my bones with you. Isn't that something? And the night the children of Israel, on the 15th of Nisan, when they marched out of Egypt, you know what they did?
They took his
they
bones.
Went and got Joseph's bones. Mm-hmm. And they marched them out of Egypt. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. By believing information, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not what?
Afraid
of the king's commandment. I'll tell you, when Pharaoh says, kill all the kids, you kill all the kids. That's what you do. You got neighbors that are going to rat on you. You got a whole bureaucracy set up. You got the Department of Killing the Jewish Kids. I'm serious. That's what they would do. But they saw. They had information. They had information from God. And because they had information from God, they weren't afraid of the king's commandment. Isn't that something? God not only spared Moses, but when you go back and read the record, Pharaoh's daughter hired Moses' mother to take care of Moses and paid her for it. See, that's God. That's God. Isn't that something? Can you imagine sticking a 3-year-old in a river?
Yeah.
Stay still. Yeah, right.
It's 3 months.
Or 3 months, I'm sorry. 3-month-old. 3-month-old in the river. By believing, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wow. He was 40 years old at this point. And he sided with an Israelite rather than an Egyptian. Yet he had been raised
an Egyptian.
But who raised him when he was young?
His mother
and father. Isn't that something? That's why when God introduces himself later, when Moses is 80, he says, I'm the God of your father. Isn't that something? They were believers. They had information from God and acted on it. And all that was with a view to God delivering his people. As he had promised, and as Joseph had said, you're going to do. That's going to happen. Anyway. So Moses, choosing rather to suffer or be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming or considering the reproach or the taunting regarding Christ or the Christ's coming greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What was he looking toward? The Christ. Isn't that something? Where did he learn that? By believing, you forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through believing, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn, or the destroyer of the firstborn, should touch them. By believing, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were what? Yeah. Israel had information to do it. Apparently, Egypt didn't. By believing, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By believing, the harlot or the innkeeper, Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. What a record that is. And Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, David also, Samuel, and of the prophets, who through believing subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. What a great record that is. You have the record of Daniel. And he wouldn't bow. He wouldn't bow to the idol. Wouldn't bow. Isn't that something? Or he wouldn't be, he was caught praying, that was, to the true God. And so they threw him in the lion's den. Did God protect him?
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. See? That's our Father we're reading about here. Quench the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Now I can think of a couple records in the Old Testament. It was the one where it was Elijah. Was it Elijah? Yeah. And the widow woman had put him up, and she came to him, and her son had died. And Elijah is the one that she couldn't have kids, and because she had blessed him, she had the boy. And years later, that son died. And Elijah raised him from the dead. Isn't that something? By believing. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And that's something, from God's perspective, the world was not even worthy of these people. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through believing, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Don't even consider chapter 12 being there. Wherefore? Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight or impediment and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Those impediments are those things that hold us back. Remember, we started back in 10. Remember when you were first enlightened. And you went through some things. You stood. Keep standing. Then he gives them all of these examples of men and women who stood in chapter 11. And here, it's now. You know, that sin. And there's an analogy used here, because in the races, They would run naked. In the games, they would compete naked. So it's literally strip off the impediments, those things that hold you back. See? And that entangling sin, which does so easily beset us, being entangled up in things that hold you back from just simply believing God, from just walking with your Heavenly Father and enjoying all that He has. And then the next verse says, it's the how of doing it. Looking unto Jesus, the author or the beginner and the completer or the finisher of, and it should read, the believing. Jesus Christ was the only one to believe all the way. All the way. To the end that He could redeem mankind and offer Himself up as a sacrifice on our behalf. He was the beginner and finisher of the believing. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. The word despising is the word for disregarding. Disregarding the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He disregarded the shame. For the hope that was set before Him. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds or your lives. You have not resisted or stood or withstood unto blood, meaning the loss of your life, striving against the sin. That's something. Jesus Christ did. He did that. We've never had to do that. But He disregarded the shame for the hope that was set before Him. And it says we do this. We strip these things off by looking unto Jesus. We look unto Him. We look unto Him, Him who has completed that which was required so that you and I could have spirit, so that we could have so much of what we have as sons of God. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to Him and stood. Isn't that something? But at the center of it all is Jesus Christ. And that's who we look to. That's who we look to. You know, God's heart is that we take Him at His word. At His word. And you know, and the challenge is the senses information that will so often, almost always, contradict what God's word says. But we have the option. And you know, really, the greatest thing I know is to spend time in God's word. To spend time reading. Spend time getting it into your heart. Just get it into your heart. Learn about this incredible Father that we have, who is love. In Him is no darkness at all. And the more we learn about our Father, these are great things. This gives us bragging rights. This is our God that we're reading about here. You know what my dad used to do? That's our Father. Isn't that cool? That's the God that we're on a quest here to believe and to walk with. And you know, when we do that, we're not going to fail. We're just not. So, it's pretty inspiring to look at the lives of some of these men and women who stood like that, and just who took God at His word. And you know what? Even if you do, you know, some of them died for taking the stand that they took. So what? Does it really matter? You know, I'm going to be 60 this year. It's like, I can't believe I'm 60. I can't believe it. It went like this. It did. I don't even believe it. I had to look at my license. But it goes that. What is... This is such a short time. Right? You know, some of us older folks, you know, when your kids have kids, right? One of the first things you say, boy, enjoy it, because man, it goes fast. Right?
Yeah.
The next thing you know. And I know when you're young, it doesn't seem like it. You know, day after day of poopy diapers and screaming and yelling and... But I'll tell you, when it's over, it's like, what happened? It's a short time. See? It's a short time. That's what Peter describes this life. It's a short time. See? Keep our eyes on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, where there will be great recompense of reward. See? So, Father, thanks for your word. And boy, just for the privilege to see some of these things and just to have some of these men and women that we can look to, men and women who stood, who loved you, who walked out on your promises. And that, Father, that's our heritage. Thanks for the privilege that we have to do the same. And that, Father, our lives can glorify you. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All righty. Hey, you know what I want to mention? I want to remind everybody about the Pittsburgh Family Weekend, which is the weekend of the 26th, 27th. And we have our website built. It's built. It's not up yet, but it's going to be reasonably shortly here. It's going to be PittsburghBibleTF.org.
Pittsburgh spelled out?
Yes, Pittsburgh Bible. Yeah, bookmark it so you don't have to spell it out every time. Pittsburgh Bible TF, Teaching Fellowship, TF.org. Okay? And we're going to be linked to the PA Bible site, too. So, those are two things I wanted to mention. All right, God bless. God bless you.